the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Top 5, 5. I got a $50 gift certificate in my hand right now. 312-981-7200. 19th caller gets it for Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview. True outlet prices every day. Check out the Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom. Woo-hoo! Checking in at
number 5.
Another violent weekend in Chicago. 7 people killed and another 39 wounded.
Unbelievable.
One man has died after a gunman shot him in the head during an argument on Michigan Avenue at Monroe, right next to Millennium Park. Chicago Police Department Deputy Superintendent Kevin Navarro says the courts must issue harder penalties for repeat offenders.
All of us in this room can search police records and news clips and can point to a reprehensible murder and shooting that could have been prevented if we actually held repeat gun offenders accountable for their violent acts. By failing to serve sufficient penalties, the violent offenders have nothing to fear and nothing brings changes to their behavior. They are only emboldened to continue their shooting and to destroy families through gun violence.
And it's true, this suspect in this case had a warrant out for his arrest and multiple gun convictions.
Let's listen to his rap sheet.
Mr. Pagan has a total of 39 arrests, including 4 felonies with 4 convictions. When he committed this senseless murder, he was actually out on an outstanding warrant for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon from June of this year, when he allegedly pointed a gun at another victim during a verbal dispute. In 2015, during another incident, he was convicted of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after he again pointed a gun at someone during a verbal dispute. He was sentenced to 12 months in prison for that offense, and we all know how that worked out. Beyond that, he has 2 other convictions for possession of a stolen vehicle from 2004 and 2007. What this case tells me, like nearly every other murder and shooting in this city, is that our criminal justice system just does not discriminate.
All right. That explains a lot right there.
60 people shot since the mayor gave his violence speech Thursday night.
Checking in at
number 4.
Jennifer Flowers might be out for the debate tonight, but there's another ghost of Bill Clinton's past who will be delighted to receive a 2016 debate invitation from Donald Trump. Paula Jones told Inside Edition that although the Trump campaign didn't ask her, shocked to hear that. I am actually shocked to hear that.
So true. I was really thinking about inviting her.
Right, especially since Hillary Clinton's camp has invited Mark Cuban. You thought there'd be some reaction.
Well, I think that's parody, don't you? So sad.
Paula Jones says she told what? Who'd she say this to? Inside Edition? Inside Edition would have been a great honor to have attended.
I thought it was awesome because you know what? If Hillary and them are going to have the gall to bring on Cuban and set him on the front row, and the only purpose for that would have been to try to distract Donald Trump and to try to set up there and you know, kind of almost bully him, basically, well, then why not? Hey, fair game. We are American people, we are American citizens, and we have a right and deserve a right to be at the presidential debate.
If you're sitting in the front row of that debate, what would you do?
Me and maybe the other women can set up there and make Hillary a little bit nervous.
The Trump campaign has, however, released some of its invitees, and on the list is a Benghazi survivor, Mark Geist. He will be attending and sitting up with the Trump people.
See, now that would be appropriate. That's an appropriate counter to Mark Cuban. Now, what is really interesting about that is that, again, that's where Kellyanne Conway, as much as she sort of scares me, I will see her, I will see a poster of her wearing a Che Guevara outfit when I'm being marched into the potato camps.
Yeah, you're amongst the first. They're going to pick up, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, but at least, you know, there's the adult in the room who even said that. I mean, people have been, they floated that idea. As soon as he tweeted out that he was inviting Jennifer Flowers, he even spelled her name when he did it in his initial tweet.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
The Trump campaign.
No, Trump himself. Trump himself. When Trump himself said, well, they're going to have Mark Cuban, okay? Remember, he failed Benefactor star. No one even remembers the show Benefactor. But Trump is so competitive about television. He wants to move. You know, The Apprentice was a huge hit. Benefactor was a complete flop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who cares about that now? Nobody cares about your stupid little vanity TV shows. Any of them,
but
ultimately.
Don't you think Mark Cuban will be a distraction? I mean, you've seen him courtside during the Mavericks games, right? He doesn't sit still, and he's, you know, an obvious adversary to Donald Trump.
Well, I think the point is that that's the appropriate reaction. If you believe that Mark Cuban is dirty pool, he probably is, then an appropriate adult response to that is to have a meaningful person, not Jennifer Flowers, because women, you know, there was like instant polling on this,
mm-hmm.
and women were like, whoa. They don't like the fact that Hillary, that's not Hillary's fault. A lot of things you can argue are Hillary's fault. But Bill Clinton deciding to, you know, jump off the porch, not her fault.
Right. I would agree with that.
And so that doesn't play well with exactly the people he's trying to attract. So what does Kellyanne Conway do? They immediately turn that around. They're doing an excellent job making him seem legitimate. It's up to him to keep proving he's not.
I just think the second she's going to goad him and he's going to respond in such the way he just goes back so hard and so ruthlessly against anybody who criticizes him. And that's where the debate, he's going to lose it. But we'll see.
I think he's going to act like an adult tonight.
But you think he will be able to?
I think he will. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. And by the way, it's great to hear from Paula Jones again. She's
You missed her.
I missed her. And you know what? I mean, when you stop and you think about Bill, and you think, now, there's a guy who had absolutely zero taste.
Come on. Don't, I mean.
Oh, come on.
Drag critiques of the women. I mean, come on.
Come on. You heard her.
So I'd like to sit right there in front row and look right at her, bet my eyes at her.
Isn't she from Arkansas?
Yes. That's why she talks.
I think he could have done better, too.
I know, right?
By the way, I got a nose job. I could show her my new nose with all the money I wrote for the book.
Come on. He had a higher standard than she did. He was president.
What? Wait, what? President?
No, I mean a higher ethical obligation. In his role as a public figure and as president, I'm saying, so you can't put
right,
all the criticism
on her. But as
president,
you should be able to get some pretty good-looking girls.
Oh, God, guys.
That's what being president's all about,
yeah,
in my book.
Well, just as Donald Trump. You don't think he'll be running some beef through the White House? I kind of think so. Yeah. All right. Hold on a second.
You're so discriminatory. What about Hillary?
No. I don't see
that happening. Toys?
I don't see. Yeah. Chippendale dancers at the White House.
Pool boy?
Yeah, the cabana boy.
Yeah, they have like three pools there, don't they?
Tennis pro. they'll convert the basketball court back to a tennis court and put a tennis pro in. I don't think any of this is appropriate, by the way.
I don't either.
All right. Your three, your two, and your one, but first.
You started it.
I did. Well, but come on. I mean, and then when he was president, he could have had Sharon Stone, and he goes with the intern. See, wasn't that wrong? Wasn't that wrong?
Well, it was wrong on a lot of levels, right? I mean, as a subordinate and all that. Right?
You're saying guy code, it was wrong.
It's wrong on every single level.
Yes.
Just so we're clear.
Including all the guy code levels is my point. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that in the dog world, it was even wrong. That's what I'm saying. It was wrong on all the real levels, but then, you know, guys are like, oh, right. Even Ryan Lochte is like, dude, that is bad.
Bro, over the line, bro.
Really? Seriously. All right. You're three, you're two, and one. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Weeknights on WGN-TV, it's politically incorrect. In primetime, watch an hour of Two and a Half Men, followed by an hour of Last Man Standing with Tim Allen. Weeknights 7 to 9 on WGN-TV.
Top 5 at 5 continues. Think of what it's going to sound like tomorrow.
Oh, God. It's going to be zinger after zinger, probably.
I know.
Number 3.
Oh, this is the best thing ever.
What?
David Ross, wow. Chicago Cub, last night, last regular season game of his Major League Baseball career. 39 years old, amazing, amazing Major League career David Ross has had last couple of years with the Cubs. How much fun was this? In his last appearance in a game in a regular season, he hits a dinger, hits a home run.
How great is that?
Solo. And it was the loudest. Kevin was there. He says the loudest he has heard Wrigley Field all season. Here was David Ross's reaction.
I'm so appreciative to the fans here in Chicago for the way they treat me and embrace me and this team and the way they respect me and give me so much credit I don't deserve. And the coaching staff and front office, good group. I'm trying to do a job, and it's hard to concentrate. I'm not good enough not to concentrate fully when I'm in the box. So I was trying to lock in, and it's a big game, and I definitely wanted to win. So it was an amazing night.
Well, he had like three or four standing ovations and a couple curtain calls, which is a rarity, especially for a backup catcher, which David Ross is, and that's what he calls himself. So to get that sort of reception from the crowd just goes to show you how much Cubs fans have absolutely fallen in love with him in the past couple seasons.
Class.
He plays essentially, on average, every 3-4 days.
Yeah, he's John Lester's personal catcher. That's basically why he was brought here, and then they'll throw him into the mix here and there as well. So, yeah, about right. that.
He's had 10 home runs this season.
Mm-hmm. I think most in 4 years or 5 years or so.
Right.
He's hitting the ball well.
I mean, if he played every day, he'd be on average at 40 home runs.
He's having a good year.
Think about that.
He really is. Yeah, they were – and they pulled him in the middle of the game. You rarely see that. That was just a moment Joe Maddon and Lester had come up with in the seventh inning with two outs. Maddon walked to the mound, and he thought Ross goes, I thought he was taking Lester out. And I started getting ticked off because I'm like, why is he taking John out? And the next thing you know, Maddon was letting – Ross have his moment. He walked off. Wilson Contreras came in. It was a cool moment for sure.
Do a lot of pitchers have their own personal catchers?
When you're John Lester and you're one of the best in the game, and you know they were trying to sway him to come here and gave him $100-something million, and John Lester says, "I'm bringing my personal catcher." They just say, "Okay, that's fine." But a majority.
And he's been such a fan favorite. What a great pickup! And they got him at a very good price.
Yeah, I mean Ross was there with the Red Sox when they won it with Lester. You know, great. They all love him there. All the players love him. They all talked about how important he is to that team. And he'll be there for the playoff roster. But, yeah, what a finish. Home run. Final regular season home game for the Cubs. Absolutely erupted at Wrigley. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. I just got chills.
Checking in at
number two.
Oh, my. Charles Osgood signed off the air yesterday. CBS News Sunday Morning. Charles Osgood has been working at CBS since 1967.
Unbelievable career.
Right?
And so distinctive, too. I mean, yes. The man, his generations have become accustomed to listening to him on a Sunday, and he's exactly, I've always felt exactly what you want to hear on a Sunday morning. Just the way he tells stories and engages, and he just, speaking of class.
Right. And, you know, you remember he took over that show. It was originally Charles Kuralt. And then Osgood was the fill-in, and Osgood took it over. And Osgood had a long-running, very long-running CBS News radio feature as well. And that's where he came up with his great sign-off, "See you on the radio." I wish I had thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greats, and the only guy who'd really rock a bow tie, and it worked for him here. He also, by the way, is a great singer and pianist.
I've sung this song, but I'll sing it again. I knew I'd be leaving, but I didn't know when. After 22 years, today is the day. It's my last Sunday morning. What more can I say except so long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. What a long time since I've been home, and I've got to be drifting along.
Beautiful. Jane Pauley, by the way, will succeed Charles Osgood as only the third host in that show's history.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it? It's great.
That is a great show. CBS has got morning news figured out.
Somehow they seem to be getting the serious side of news in this time of very serious news right.
But that CBS Sunday Morning Show was always designed to be like the New York Times Sunday Edition on television, mm-hmm. right? Big features, long stuff,
well-written pieces, well-shot. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Stuff to just sort of wash over you on a Sunday morning while you're, you know, fighting the hangover. Works very, very well. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Arnold Palmer has died. He had heart failure for many years. He was actually even a heart failure drug commercial.
Oh, gosh.
Which, you know, let's pull that off the air, I suppose. He was the king. He won 7 major championships. Now, there are others who've won more. I believe he had 62 total career wins. That's pretty good. Few have more than that. Mm-hmm. 5 decades. He won the Masters 4 times, the Open twice, and the U.S. Open once.
The 1960 U.S. Open belongs to Arnold Palmer.
He talked about the legacy he wished to leave.
I always say one thing, that if I can teach a young man coming along, and I've seen a lot of them, if I can teach them to leave the game better when they leave than they found it when they arrived, then I've been successful.
Arnold Palmer is said to have been worth, at the time of his death yesterday, $750 million.
Jeez. And that's post-career earnings, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Lending his name to golf courses and that drink.
Yeah, the Arnold Palmer.
Everyone knows.
Every time you order an Arnold Palmer, you have to pay him 10 cents.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. throw vodka in there. It's John Daly.
It's a John Daly. John Daly's not making the same amount of money off of John Daly that Arnold Palmer's making off the Arnold Palmer.
Which is surprising. He's not capitalizing on that in the marketing of John Daly.
Exactly. You would think, right?
Oh, you know what he did? My mistake. He came out with a drink, a bottled drink. It's the John Daly. He did. I saw that on shelves this summer. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think he's going to make the $750 million that Arnold Palmer did. Arnold Palmer is, in my life, I mean, Tiger Woods, I think, is the greatest golfer, mm-hmm. As a skilled person, just pure skills. He reminds me much more, everybody always wanted to compare him with Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus is the greatest golfer of all times by championships.
Okay.
Arnold Palmer and Tiger Woods were very similar. In terms of the violence of the swing, the Arnold Palmer would swing and then chase the ball. He would swing it on his finishing motion, which takes his shoulders forward and his right leg would come forward and he'd just start marching. And he'd march down the course after it. He never stopped. He was like the Energizer Bunny. He was great for the game. A great humanitarian. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved him, and it was, I think, great for America and great for Western Pennsylvania, which he put mm-hmm. on the map as a golf capital, and it was great for tourism and all the stuff there.
Tiger Woods, very gracious, saying he paved the way for athletes like me, and just incredible what he's done for the sport.
Arnold Palmer was 87.
The top five at five.